One longtime Charlie Hebdo reader is the father of our friend and colleague Marine Olivezi. Marine reports for the World from the Middle East and North Africa, but she happens to be in Boston today, so she stopped by our studio.
Well, my dad has been buying and reading the magazine for years, for as far as I can remember. So it was always somewhere in the house. I never bought it myself, but yeah, sometimes, you know, flip through the pages. And what's interesting is when I started specifically going to the Middle East and report there, some of the cartoons kind of began being a little bit more difficult for me accepting some of the very in-your-face style that they had. And I remember having very heated arguments with my dad a few times over, you know, the values of having such provocative cartoons out. And I guess like it was kind of shaped my reflection about those were shaped by just my work on a daily basis in the Middle East, in North Africa, where usually I'm just trying to be as low profile as possible and as respectful and not trying to make myself notice too much and not trying to, you know, hurt anyone or offend anyone because, well, for security reasons, but also because that's the best way to get people to trust you and to get stories, get the chance to tell their stories. But I was quite impressed by the reaction after the attacks by some of these people that I've encountered, you know, during these 3-4 years of reporting, especially
in Libya.
Yeah,
what were you hearing? What were they telling you?
Well, some of them were just like right after the attacks, just sending me Facebook messages saying that they were very, very sorry. And it was I was surprised by how fast that they had reacted on the news and thought of me as, you know, having been possibly hurt by those attacks on a magazine from my country. And I'd found that quite interesting because it was the same people with whom I had conversations about, you know, French laws, about laïcité, about the ban on the hijab. And
laïcité, that's really more kind of focused on the secular life of France.
Yes, exactly. And with some of them, I'd had conversations about why, you know, like they were sometimes criticizing friends, even Libyans who love friends because of the support of friends during the revolution, but had misgivings about how friends had been setting up all these laws, and they saw some of these laws as anti-Muslim. So the same people who might, you know, not like some of these cartoons yet were coming to me right after the attacks telling me how sorry they were.
You know, the issue of radicalization, Marine, is not something that only the French and U.S. governments are grappling with. I hear the biggest number of foreign fighters going to Syria is from Tunisia, where the Arab Spring all started. How are some of those governments in North Africa and Mideast grappling with this problem of young jihadists?
Well, that's been a big problem for them, especially, well, their countries like Libya that also has a fair amount of its youth going to Syria, but they're no number because there's just no government at this point that is really able to keep tabs on that. And they have so many other problems that it's really not so much of a concern. It will be the concern of the families or individuals, but not of the state or authorities. Well, in Tunisia, on the other hand, it's an issue that's very much on the forefront of the public life and also the election campaigns that took place in the fall. And you had, before that, you had a government that was mostly made up with moderate Islamists from the Ennahda party. And they were accused of closing their eyes on all of these young Tunisians going to Syria and on being too soft on them. At one point, there were talks of having some kind of amnesty to allow them to come back to Tunisia and help them, you know, instead of going to Syria and being further radicalized, bring them back. But for that to happen, they had to have some guarantees that, you know, they wouldn't be thrown in jail. They wouldn't be. So the government at some point was toying with that idea of an amnesty if they could prove that someone hadn't killed anyone in Syria, which of course is impossible to establish. But what's interesting in Tunisia is that now that it's a country that's becoming a democracy, the big struggle is how to deal with that radicalization and keep tabs on these people, you know, the human rights groups and the whole, you know, Arab Spring ideas in Tunisia have really taken roots. And so they have to walk that line that is the same line that most European countries have to walk to find a solution to that problem.
I mean, basic underpinning of any democracy, open door policy, people should be able to come and go freely as they please. And that obviously is a struggle. My colleague and friend of ours here at The World, Marine Olivezi, in Boston for the day. Thank you so much for stopping by and speaking with us, Marine.
My pleasure.